Why have a Memorial Day? It's a good question. But it's a question we need to answer and we need to keep on our minds and to keep in our hearts that things have not always been without battle, that things have not always been without bloodshed. In my life, I can remember World War I veterans and conversations with them. World War II is clear in my mind from the time it started until the day that it ended. So is the Korean War, which was just 5 years later. And I was in school, college, during the Vietnam War. And it was a very hot topic on campus at that particular time. And there have been many other battles, and there are at this time soldiers in foreign country who are in harm's way. So we need to understand something about memorials. What is a memorial? It is something that keeps remembrance alive. Very simple definition. It has to do with commemoration, notes, mementos, records, memoirs. These are all part of Memorial Day. But what is our Memorial Day? It is a day observed as a legal holiday on May the 30th. That would be Wednesday. But in order to have a long holiday weekend, we changed it to a Monday. And that hasn't been done all that long ago. But it is a day of remembrance. A day when some memento, reading someone's memoir, or seeing a memorial statue or garden or something of that nature reminds us again of those who died for their country. Originally, Memorial Day was Decoration Day. It started in the South after the Civil War. And on Decoration Day, people came to the country church and gathered for a meal and to decorate the graves of the soldiers who had been buried there. Many times, these cemeteries were not well kept. And I remember Dry Creek Cemetery, where my people are buried, that it would grow up in the summer, but then in the spring on the Memorial Day, what we referred to as Decoration Day is when we came together, cleaned the cemetery, and put flowers on the graves of those who had died in battle. It is a day in commemoration of those who died in service. As I mentioned, it began as a Confederate Memorial Day and was known until lately as Decoration Day. The word memorial is used 32 times in our English Bibles. 29 of them are in the Old Testament and 3 of them are in the New Testament, the actual word memorial. There are other similar words such as memory, and it's used many more times, but I wanted to use these verses that contain the word memorial this morning as my message to you. I will not be able to touch all of the 29 because many of them are repetitive especially when it comes to the garments of the high priest. All of it was decorated in such a way that it reminded and was called a memorial to some act of the Mosaic system, such as offerings and things of that nature. The first time that it's used is in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, which is a rather unique statement where the Lord said, when Moses asked him, whose name shall I say has sent me to deliver the children of Israel? And God said, I am that I am. I don't think I've ever read any commentary or translation that completely settled my mind on exactly what that meant. I am that I am. It has in it the fact that God is, will be, and will never be within. He will never come to an end, everlasting to everlasting. It also has in it the magnificence of God. So when God replied, I am that I am, he also gave them a name to use, Jehovah, in connection with it, which has to do with the name they could use in worship. And that is the name I'm told that they generally used in worshiping God, although there were other names or terms given to him. So a name can be a memorial, sometimes to that which is good and sometimes to that which is bad. We hear the name of a mass murderer like Hitler, and it is a memorial, but it's a memorial to evil and to destruction and war and the most horrible effects of war upon those who wear no uniforms but die because of the depth, the bombs and other things that are brought upon the community or city. I'm amazed at one thing, and that is that there is no memorial to the atomic bomb, to its invention or its first use. Only the destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, some of it left and never brought back to repair, are the memorials that we have to that event. There was the freedom from bondage memorial that the Israelites were to observe. That is the freedom from the bondage of the Israelites, from the Egyptians, that the Israelites suffered. It's what we call the Passover. It's what Jesus was observing as a faithful Jew when he took the elements of the Passover and gave them new meaning, which is the broken body and shed blood. There was a written account of a Bible, of a battle rather, and God said, take the written account of that battle and use it for a memorial. In other words, someone who was involved in a great struggle between the unrighteous tribes where the Israelites were going to make their home, and a very significant battle occurred, and God said, write this thing down and keep it as a memorial. So sometimes we need to read about battles, to read about what happened and who was victor and why they were victorious. There was also the dress of the high priest, as I mentioned earlier. The offerings of the Mosaic system were generally said to be memorials. The meat offerings, the peace offerings, the sin offerings, all of these were said to be memorials. Why say they are memorials? Because each time they were offered, each time the death of an animal occurred, it portrayed and pictured the coming one who would die for the sins of the world, even Jesus Christ. That's why we look at the Lord's Supper as a memorial supper, for it truly is. The sounding of trumpets in the Old Testament were meant for memorials. Each time you heard a trumpet sound as an offering was being made by a priest, then that was a memorial. A memorial to what? To God. And I'm amazed as I looked at all of these memorials that in the ministry we would say they were a memorial to God's goodness. The offerings all spoke of different aspects of the redemptive act of Christ as he died on the cross. The bread, the showbread, all of these things were pointing to God or to Jesus Christ. There is the bread that's on the altar. I noticed one also, and I think I've mentioned this earlier, a memorial to jealousy. When a man suspected that his wife had committed adultery and there was no proof, no witnesses, no proof, then he, if filled with jealousy, even though she had not admitted or no one had proven that she was guilty, there could be an offering made that would set the stage for certain investigations concerning her, and if those investigations were proven, would prove her innocence, then this offering was to be a memorial to the husband that his wife was not condemned as an adulteress. And that's the strangest memorial. It was simply the pouring of oil and I believe a breaking of bread and some things of that nature that was that memorial. But after a long ritual with no proof of unfaithfulness, then the husband's jealousy ended. There was a memorial to strangers. Now that's rather unique too. Not just simply a memorial that said welcome to the strangers, but a memorial that reminded the Israelites that no strangers were to administer the sacrifices at the altar. There was also the spoils of war that were brought into the tabernacle and the congregation of the people for the benefit of the children. There was one great battle where many things of gold were taken. And they were to take all of the instruments of gold and all of the wealth that they had captured at the end of that battle. Israelites were victorious, and they were to bring it into the sanctuary, into the very congregation of the faithful. And it was not for the sake of the military, it was not for the sake of God, it was not for the sake of the priest, it's not for the sake of the adults, but it was so the children could see in this gathering of wealth that God had blessed those soldiers in battle, and they had been victorious, and God had given them this wealth. I thought that was unique, that the spoils of war would be brought into something like our church and exhibited, and then the children said, look at this, and remember what God did for us in giving us the victory in this battle. Of course, there's always the memorial that was erected on the side of the Jordan River that the Israelites would inherit. Joshua told the men to take up 12 stones and get on the other side and erect a memorial out of these stones so that children seeing them later would ask, what meaneth these stones? That gave the parents or whoever were with them a teaching moment And they could say, these stones are a monument. They are a memorial to our coming into the promised land, to our leaving our wanderings in the wilderness. There are many monuments. There are many things that bring to remembrance many things. But in the New Testament, we'll look at those instances where the word memorial is used. In Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, this is a very interesting memorial. We begin at verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come forward to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her, a memorial of her. Let's look at that for a minute. Brother Matthew spoke on it, I believe, last Sunday. He told us who the woman was. That was interesting, Matt. But let's look at it. Look at verse 4. There was indignation within themselves when the disciples saw this. They were offended by it. Now, I have a little bit of a problem with someone being offended by such an act of love that was poured out not only from the heart but also from the bottle of spikenard, when it's done to Jesus Christ. Why didn't they within themselves, and that's what the Bible says, within themselves, they didn't say anything out loud at all, but they were thinking, wow, what a waste of money. Wonder if the Lord simply doesn't know about how valuable this was, or he wouldn't have let her do this. Why was this waste of the ointment made? Waste. Waste. I look at this. It cost money. It wasn't a waste, people. No, this wasn't a waste. Oh, we could have done it for half as much, I suppose. But maybe it wouldn't have meant half as much to us either. It is a memorial. What's done for God can become a memorial. And maybe this can be a memorial to our commitment to this place, to this city, and to the whole world. From here, there's a congregation of people we can reach out, not only to the city and the state, but the whole world. And we can be reminded from time to time of what we were 15 years ago and where we are today. I'll just be frank with you. It's a memorial to me. That is, not to me as a person, but in my heart and in my mind. It wasn't a waste of money. It is a memorial to God and to his people. But anyway, they were very upset about this, called it a waste, and they murmured. And they didn't murmur audibly in the sense so that Jesus could hear their complaints. It was a low rumble. And Jesus said, "You don't understand what's happening here at all." What she's done, and I don't know of any other act that Jesus said this about. It shall be a memorial for in the whole world, wherever the gospel is preached. Do you how many times has the gospel been preached in the world since this incident occurred? It must have been millions and millions of times. And yet, she is commended and it said, it will be a memorial shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus said, I'm taking myself out of this and what it meant to me. I'm letting her have the glory of what she did. You know what it is a memorial to? It's a memorial to unselfishness and sacrifice. When you give something very valuable that you have to do without to the work of God, I think God considers that a memorial. And this was probably all that she had of value. This is mentioned in Matthew also. Now the next act is in the book of Acts itself. I don't believe that God has to be reminded of things. I believe he knows all things and can remember all things. So that makes this very extraordinary. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. A centurion of the band called the Italian band, that is, he was a commander over 100 soldiers. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Notice prayers and what? Alms. Alms is giving in such a way that people do not know you give. It is what we would call charity. And God commended this man, and he said it is a memorial before God. I think we can draw from that statement that every time God thinks of it, reviews it, remembers it, it brings pleasure to him. And I would say that we ought to be very careful that in our lives that we do things in praying, say things, and that our life contains some help directed toward those who need help, so that God can not only know our prayer and what we ask for, but God can also see what we've done, and that reminds God of our character and of who we are. I've mentioned the Lord's Supper, as in Luke 22, 15 through 23. The word memorial is not used there. It's simply Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So it serves a purpose and can be referred to as the memorial supper, and oftentimes is, to remind us of his broken body and spilled blood. For this day, I would call your attention that in every cemetery, the national cemetery, that on every veteran's tombstone, and every grieving family, that these are our memorials of a terrible tragedy when men's lives were taken for the sake of others. I think the American flag ought to be a memorial. And that's why I brought it into the auditorium this morning. That is a memorial. The stars, the stripes. And I'm told there's a story behind all of the colors in this flag. And we should always honor it. And it should remind us of what a great nation God has given us as His people. You don't have to be a person who loves history to stand on some of the great battlefields of our nation, from Vicksburg to Corinth, Shiloh, to Antietam, Pea Ridge, and not think about the harm and hurt of the Civil War. We cannot think of the great loss we suffered, the Battle of New York, when Washington had to flee, and yet we think of the battle at Trenton when we won the Revolutionary War. Monuments exist all so many places. War of 1812, Civil War, there are monuments everywhere. And I don't think you can stand on these battlefields like Antietam and other places without feeling the solemnness of that soil and the great suffering that occurred there. Pickett's charge up the hill, where men died and piled up like logs and barely reached their objective at the top of this slope. Gettysburg. I hope we do more than just eat. I hope we do more than simply take a nap and read the paper, go to the beach, go to the swimming hole. I hope we do more than that. And I don't mean just take a moment to sort of soothe it over, soothe our consciences, but genuinely and prayerfully think of what this day means to America and to the whole world. Will you stand with me, please?